I'd like to thank Melvar for hosting the show for me this week. I was with XV in Nashville. I was traveling for work, and it was a good chance to hang out with Chris. We ate sushi, and it was fantastic. Because of that, I will not be on the show, nor will Chris, this week. Again, thanks to Melvar for hosting. Thanks to Diecast for producing. The audio for this week's episode is a little inconsistent, but it was unavoidable due to technical difficulties. Again, thanks to the guys for hosting. Now, let's jump to the show. Don't forget, you can find all of the links for this episode at tfradio.net/512.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 512. I am your host this week, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar. Brian Kilby and Chris are out on assignment this week, probably at a sketchy Chinese buffet. With me this week, in no particular order, are Rob Clay, one of the driving forces behind the news at T-Formers. Rob.
Hi.
Our producer for the evening, Diecast.
Hello, everyone. I'm so sorry.
The real reason that everybody tunes into the show each week, Headmaster Don.
Back from my whirlwind tour of my book. No, I was actually in bed sick with virus type B flu, so it's good to be back, everybody.
And special guest co-host this week, Aramis Prime.
Hello.
Yes.
Now, do you prefer Aramis Prime or Eric?
Either. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Just something.
Okay, so to kick off the show this week, the winner of the giveaway for the Penny Arcade PAX East pin is Red Dog at Tears of Chels. Is that right?
Seems good to be.
She just followed me whenever I tweeted that out.
Huh.
No fair.
Okay. Congratulations, Red Dog, and Brian will get up with you.
Yeah, just send us your information on a tweet.
Yeah.
Get that
But don't tweet us your credit card number. Don't do that.
Well,
don't tweet out your address.
One of those private tweets instead of the how Don normally sends out his information.
Well, Drat, you've discovered my secret dating technique. It didn't work either.
All right, so to start off, let's talk about stuff we got this week. We'll start off with Diecast. So, Diecast, Taobao or not Taobao? That is the question.
I Taobao'd. I've got a box of Taobao.
All right.
The thing I got out of my box of Taobao was... And I kind of feel a little bad about buying this, but I bought Quake Blast, which is the knockoff of Fans Toys Shock Blast, and he's really nice. I feel really bad about buying this. He was only like $40.
No, I mean that's fine. I mean, if you bought Sonicron, then you have an excuse to feel bad.
I have Sonicron. It was one of my first third party figures.
Yeah.
And I got it on discount, so...
And you kept buying them?
So, I still like it. Hmm. And then I also got the DX9 Warren Pocket Dinobots, the first two, which is their slag and...
Sludge.
Muddy. Sludge. So, I got the... I don't have... But they all look the same anyway. I got the last two figures to complete my Dino King.
Huh. So you're able to find those two then?
Yeah, I got them on Taobao.
Yeah.
Now you need the shells.
Yeah.
If you really want to complete Dino King.
I don't need shells.
Yeah.
And then I also got the upgrade kit for MPP-10, which adds a light up matrix, a light up Optimus Prime face, some articulated hands, a light up gun, and a weird gun. But I got that also. And the main thing I got was, thanks to a friend, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention his name or not, but the Chaos on Velocitron box set, which I did a quick kind of unboxing. I called it a quick preview, but it was really an unboxing video. where I showed it off real quick. Check that out at RFC Reviews on YouTube. Anyone else get anything?
Let's go down the list. Rob, you get anything this week?
Not this week.
Headmaster Don, how about you?
Yes, I did get some stuff this week. I've got some stuff in route that I did not make it by tonight, but it'll be coming in. I'll have something for next week. But I picked up a couple things. First things first, I picked up through Hasbro Toy Shop. I got Titans Return. Robots in Disguise Blur. I also picked up Skywarp.
What's the matter with you tonight, Don? You still sick?
Yeah, apparently so. Skywarp, who's got some great looking colors on the figure. And Billy, Soundwave. I haven't had a chance to open these yet. Like I said, I was recovering from the flu and I'm just, sort of catching up on things.
Where'd you fly to?
Catching up on the very funny. Also, in some non-Transformer stuff, since Brian's not here. Hey, my friend Blade Raider was at the Lexington Comic Con while I was at Joe Lanta. And everyone knows that I like Tokusatsu and picked up some Gaim candy toy lock seeds. These are the candy versions of the ones not quite as expensive. Picked up Dorian, a Fize lock seed for the Kamen Rider Fize. And my favorite, crap.
There it is.
The orange lock seed from Kamen Rider Gaim. So I don't have any. They don't work in the belt, I don't believe, and I'm not getting a belt for $100. But it's nice to at least have a couple of Gaim lock seeds there from Kamen Rider Gaim. And also, as a get well present from our illustrious leader Brian Kilby, as a matter of fact, I believe it was Monday when I finally went back to work. This was on my doorstep in a box, beautiful gift wrapped bag from Amazon.com, TF Radio/Amazon, and he got me something that everyone needs in their home: 1 gallon of Miracle Whip.
All right.
I don't think you send that to people that you want to get well.
There is only 256 servings of Miracle. Well, I'm sorry, Don's servings. There's like four in this container.
Don, shouldn't that be in the refrigerator?
It's not been opened up yet.
It is shelf stable until it is opened.
Yes. So, thank you, Brian. I appreciate the gift. Now I gotta go buy an $8 block of Velveeta just to have enough cheese to use on sandwiches for this. So thank you.
Well, all right, is that it for you, Don, or you got more?
No, that's everything. That's everything I got.
All right, Eric, what you got?
I got the Blur, the Skywarp, and the Soundwave Robots in Disguise Warriors.
He copied me. Yeah, I tweeted that. He said, and he just copied me.
It's true. And I got Titans Return Leader Class Soundwave whenever I made that order, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. And then I got a custom figure. It finally came. It's a Deadlock out of Robots in Disguise Drift.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so he's really, really nice. And then I got, a day before Matt did, the Transformers Collectors Club Subscription Service 5.0 Fractal and the Paradron Medic and Scorponok.
Lifeline.
Yeah, Lifeline. Whatever. And Quickslinger, the little target master who got stuck in gun mode. That terrified me.
But mine was fine, by the way.
Yeah, but it was a day later, so.
True.
I really like Fractal. Fractal is nice. I mean,
Fractals from the pterosaur version of that mold, right?
Yes. Correct. It's just pre-painted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lifeline's just a green RC, so there's that.
So
I'm looking forward to the rest. Yeah, exactly. I didn't even think about that. I'm looking forward to the upcoming ones. We have Toxitron, is it Counterpunch, and then the two Pretenders, right?
Yes.
And those are the four I want most. So I got the ones I wanted least out of the way first. I still wanted Fractal, but I still have more to look forward to.
Oh, that's it. Is that everything?
Yeah.
before we move on, I forgot.
I still got my stuff, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, I did get one thing. I forgot about it because I already had to send it out again. But I got Fans Toys Phoenix, the test shot, which I was able to...
Oh, yeah. How did you forget about that?
Photos. I know, because I had to let it go. And I'm so sad because I have to wait till it comes back out, or till it comes out, for me to actually get my copy. But the test shot was amazing. And I'm just so excited for that figure. And
I don't know, too much diecast metal for my taste.
Yeah, Brian would never like it. There was metal in it, and it felt really nice in your hands, and it was big. It didn't look like a toy you would buy in the toy store, so... If you're into that thing, you definitely don't want it. I mean, Kronos, that may be a better Skyfire for you if you don't like metal and toys that transform well and all that. So, but I have my review up for him on RFC Reviews also.
Cool.
And I had fun with the photos on that guy.
Well, when are you going to do the burning video of Kronos?
As soon as I find him... He got packed up in the move, and I'm not exactly sure where he is. And actually, some of the boxes are still at my mother and father-in-law's house that I haven't brought over yet. So it's possible it's in one of those boxes. But I'm going to take a couple days off to try and straighten up my whole collection. So hopefully then I'll be able to locate him, and that's just a couple weeks away. So there may be a video going up of that.
Are you going to review the... Chaos on Velocitron box set too? I know you did the preview.
There's definitely some figures in there that I want to do.
A lot of those figures we've already seen in one form or another.
Yeah, I want to do Nautica, and I want to do Fast Clash, definitely. And maybe G2 Laser Prime, because he just looks so nice. Maybe I'll just do like a quick 360 video of him, but
I haven't had a chance to see your video diecast. How do the stickers on his trailer seem? Do they seem better than the ones on the Voyager, Megatron, and Prime at retail?
Oh, I didn't open up my Voyager Prime. Oh, no, yeah, I did. But I didn't transform him, so I don't know.
Are they awful?
From what I can remember, I only took a quick look. I didn't even cut him out of the packaging yet. He looks not great. I mean, some of the stickers look a little rough. So definitely he's going to need some repro labels.
Yeah, repro labels is going to make a mint on that set, I swear.
Yes. All right, if nobody else has anything else, I got the first shipment of the Subscription Service 5, so I did get Lifeline, and I had to do a little trimming on the hands so that she holds her guns. But she holds them very, very well now. And, Scorponok and Quickslinger, pretty standard. I always did really like this little scamper mold for Scorponok. It's just a fun little toy. And like Eric was saying, Fractal is really nice. I mean, the colors just pop on this. These look like the colors that we were originally shown for Serpento R out of Subscription Service 3. I mean, they're really, really rich green, and actual gold is yellow.
Yeah, that just makes it so disappointing that we finally get the right colors. It's just
on the wrong figure.
Yeah,
but he looks super, super nice. And what Eric got his Subscription Service figures the day before me, but he didn't get MMC Coulter, and I did.
I want that thing so bad.
And he is super nice. I mean, nice solid figure. Don't notice any die-cast metal in there, so Brian might actually like him. For fans that think third-party transforming figures are overcomplicated, this would be a very good one to buy. I mean, very straightforward. I would say less than 10 steps in the transformation. Pretty much, you fold the head away, he lays down on his face, you... unfold all the treads and throw his legs up over his back, and he's in tank mode. I mean, it's pretty simple, but not unsatisfying at the same time. So I'm really happy with him.
Yeah, I've got a couple of third-party pieces where you can have a simpler transformation and still be immensely satisfied. You don't have to have these you know, goes from robot to whatever in 70 steps.
Yeah.
Does Coulter have any flaws that you've noticed? Because he seems, like, just perfect.
Well, he's got the wrong face under his Decepticon mask, but, you know, that was a... product of the time that the mold was made, and
so it's not what it's not old man Winters under the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, if that covers what we've got this week, let's move on to this week in history. This week in 2008, the Transformers animated episode Megatron Rising Part 1 premieres in the United States.
Oh God, animated is 10 years old. I keep forgetting that.
Oh, this is the end of season one. So
it would be. So it
2008 was 9 years ago. Done.
No, I'm saying it. I'm saying though,
yeah, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying season one started in. Didn't it start late 2007?
I believe so.
Yeah. Like around Christmas, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. And now? I love the Megatron Rising episodes. They are some of my favorite of the series.
Yeah, and the Decepticons finally get their own little catchphrase, you know, transform and rise up.
Yes. I would like to hear that used more often, quite frankly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also in 2008 this week, unfortunately Brian isn't here to observe the occasion, but on March 26, 2007, the 51st and final show in the Kiss Players radio drama series airs in Japan on the Transformers Kiss Play Transformers News Center program. We all know that
was a sad day for Brian.
I say we all know that he is an avid enthusiast of Kiss Players.
Yeah, you know he loves his Kiss Players.
Yeah. It's wasn't this the one where they finally, this is where all the connectivity was done in which everything in Japan was revealed to be interconnected through the time traveling, or was that one of the subsequent series?
I have no idea.
Okay, because I remember it might have been the Kiss Players follow up, but it was the last episode of that series, the radio drama, that basically made everything interconnected. Robots, their car robots, Beastman. It was just this massive, basically timeline, just hodgepodge.
And it all started with Kiss Players.
Kiss Players is to blame for so many things.
Yeah, well, it all starts with a kiss. So you just go from there.
All right, on to official news. Robots in Disguise Season 3 Combiner Force possible episode count and premiere date. It looks like we're looking at, a 26-episode season, possibly?
Yeah, and I believe the previous couple of seasons were only 13 episodes, so...
Uh-huh.
Like the first season was 26, the second was 13, and we're back up to a full episode count 26 again. So it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's going to be a 71 overall series episode count, I believe the article said.
Yeah, which if the old rules still hold, that's enough to get it into syndication if they want.
Yeah, it's just the fact that we're having to wait forever in between seasons. I've not seen any advertising for the stuff, and knowing Cartoon Network, it's either going to take forever for it to run, or they're burn through everything in one showing, and then we'll have 8 months of or 7 months of repeats.
And even in this article, we don't get a premiere date for the U.S., but if you're in Canada, you may be in luck, because you may be seeing new episodes as early as April 1st.
Wow.
Fingers crossed.
Well, heck, I believe the last season that ran was well over halfway done before the first episode ever aired in the U.S., as from being shown in Canada.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I watched it online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it, though, because they've been improving the show with every season, like, vastly. It a lot.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be going back to looking at, what's been going on Cybertron, supposedly, to a degree, and them finding out, spoilers, Prime is the one being blamed for the war in general. Ratchet actually took voluntary exile from the planet because of some of his beliefs on sticking up for Prime. So there's a lot of backstory there. And I am hoping, I'm hoping the kids show up and we get some kind of closure with their characters, since we didn't get it in Predacons Rising. when they weren't even mentioned at all by name. So that's what I'm hoping for.
I still want to know what happened to Kicker.
He got kicked to the curb.
See, you don't care about Kicker, but
yeah,
Nico, crazy.
I could care less about Kicker. Now, Carlos Rad and Lexus, I kind of care about them.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. Kicker was not my favorite. He kind of started out with an interesting premise, and they never really went anywhere with it.
Yeah, so just kick him to the curb. But yeah.
Okay, Titans Return Chaos on Velocitron box set in hand photos.
It looks so nice. I wish I could find it.
I know.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way, apparently, because this is showing up very sporadically, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And our next story is about that. XV got some information on the distribution, and pretty much the entire Southeast region looks to have gotten 270 of these so far. And that may be the all we ever get, or there may be more. It's hard to say.
It's unclear at this time.
Mm-hmm. When I spoke to somebody at my Toys R Us today, I'm in the same basic distribution region as XV is, and they said that there is no store from Ohio all the way down to North Carolina that has one of these in stock right now. So whether there's still things in the pipeline or they've just all been sold, I don't know. Hoping for the former, it seems more likely. But it basically, if you see this and you can afford it and you want it, you'd better get it.
I mean, I understand that the Combiner Wars box sets may have been overproduced. You know, these went on deep clearance on a lot of places. They showed up at Ross and TJ Maxx. And they may have done a little course correcting for that, but 270 for the entire coast seems a little bit low.
Yeah.
And so,
plus, we don't know if these are Toys R Us only. They don't have a sticker on it that says Toys R Us.
They show up on Amazon.
One of the box sets, as far as I remember, was supposed to be Toys R Us only.
And the next one's Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think shared BBTS and Amazon maybe is the next one, but
oh, that'd be good.
Now, one thing I'm just going to bring up is that I have the smallest Toys R Us left in the chain in my area. That's the only one we have. I have 4 hours drive in any direction. But sometimes outside of the holiday season, sometimes the trucks they get are literally 4 or 5 pallets, and that's it. And if you know that a pallet is basically a 4x4 square, and you can stack it about 6 feet tall, that's how much they're getting outside of the holiday season. And the truck might be all outdoor stuff one day, or it might be girl stuff the next, or it might be this or that the next time. So I don't think they've all hit. I think it's just the fact that they're only getting some stores are getting 1 to 2 trucks a week. And they're this small, it's going to just take time to get distributed out to all the stores because they're not getting, you know, a ton of freight this time of year unless it's your seasonal stuff for the summer.
Hmm. So has anyone also related to the box set figured out why Quick Switch doesn't have the new helmet? Like, has anyone actually found like a reason for that? Why he doesn't have the one that was shown in the renders? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I heard about that, and I don't think there's any particular reason known. It may just be a running error, and unfortunately, if so, that may mean we just never see the proper helmet on this.
I wonder if that's why there is only a limited number released right now. Maybe they are going to fix that, and the ones that come out later will have the updated head.
It could be, that, you know, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. I hope so.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Any amount of remolding is always welcome. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've covered the distribution info. That was the next news topic. Figure Subscription Service 5 shipments are now arriving, and Eric and I both already have them. So,
yep.
Ta-da! Wait, is this the end of December 2016?
In terms of cosmic awareness, maybe.
Well, no, it can't be the end of December because then we would have the entire assortment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
They're saying so by the end of May.
Christmas.
But seriously, you know, there were some shipping scheduling problems, and it took way longer to get these figures to the distribution than was originally intended. So they are starting to ship out now. They are actually nice, so I am happy with the ones I have and eagerly anticipate the two remaining shipments. Mm-hmm. And up next, Transformers Subscription Service 5.0. So which RC hands does Lifeline, a.k.a. Paradron Medic, have? As we all know, the 2014, was it, RC mold?
Mm-hmm.
2013 or 2014?
2014.
2014, the retail had two different hand variations. One was an open-handed, and that would actually
closed-handed.
Yes, that would actually hold weapons. Yeah, closed-handed. Thank you. And then the retool of a more open-handed, but it was reinforced with a small brace piece at the bottom of the hand, which stopped her from. Yeah, as Eric's holding up right now, it blocks the handles of her weapons from going all the way through, so it's very odd. Mm-hmm. You can fix that with an X-Acto knife, as I have. It's not hard to do,
yeah.
But you know it does leave some unsightly unpainted plastic underneath. But
yeah, especially because the plastic color's green, but they're painted pink, unlike the RC, which was just the. Like
actually,
no,
it was a problem. It was a
was
problem
it?
With RC as well because you know the plastic color was pink and the hands are painted white. But
yeah.
It's easy enough to touch up if you're dedicated enough to do so. It doesn't really bother me that much, so I just leave them.
And you know what? Go ahead, Rob.
I wish they'd used the Combiner Hunter's hands because those were just fine, and they would have actually worked with the Target Master they shipped her with.
Hold that no matter what. Yeah.
Do those hands hold the rounded hands hold the squared off peg weapons? I never attempted.
Not that well, from what I've heard.
Yeah, not that well, but you can make it work, but they kind of are at like a 45 degree angle. There's no way to hold them straight ahead, but they do actually fit in the hands.
And what's sad is, I used to buy some DC Direct figures. And DC Direct, DC had a problem with a lot of their Green Lantern figures came sculpted with two closed fists. One of their accessories was a Green Lantern lantern. They couldn't literally hold their own lantern unless you raise the arm and just drape the lantern on the wrist. And that's the only way you could put them in a charger ring pose. And this was the early 2000s. I expect that from DC Direct in the early 2000s. But when you include a accessory with a figure and a highly pricey exclusive line, and that figure can't even hold the accessory, there's a problem. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying don't do that because it's really, really off-putting.
They're fucking expensive.
I don't think it's being a jerk to say the toys should be able to hold their accessories. I think that's kind of a minimum requirement as far as I'm concerned.
It's literally you've got a lantern hanging off a guy's wrist because he cannot the sculpt is closed. It's a closed punching fist.
Yeah.
The thing about Lifeline that I found amusing was that they try to pass off her not being able to hold Quickslinger by saying that she's a pacifist and won't use it in Target Master mode anyway. Yet she still comes with all of her original RC weapon accessories that
are well now here's the thing, those are like Blade's safety missiles. They shoot
and
you
has
know
gun and a rifle
medical axe.
She has a pistol and a rifle.
Yeah, they said they're like lasers for cauterizing wounds or something, I think I read. I forget that was in the bio or one of the like stories beforehand.
What is she cauterizing? That rifle is as big as her torso.
I don't know. They don't have lightsabers in this universe. The wounds don't cauterize themselves, so.
So, yeah, here's hoping the rest of the figures can play with their included accessories.
But yes, it does come with the second version of the hands, the open-handed version with the brace at the bottom, which prevents her from holding her weapons correctly.
Yeah.
Sadly. But it can be fixed. Okay.
Oh, but she does look nice.
She does. I've actually wanted a pair of Drawn Medic figure for a good long time. I like that shade of green.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, moving along, Generation Cyber Battalion Jetfire in hand images.
You know, I was kind of looking at this figure when we saw the pictures. Thought, hey, this is nice. Then I saw these pictures. It's like, I don't need this.
Well, that's kind of Cyber Battalion in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it does look nice. I think it still looks nice. Neat though.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, they're basically just upscaled, like cyber commander figures, yeah. Right?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they are.
Upscaled legends.
Yeah, I think that's about somewhere in that neighborhood.
I mean, if I could buy these in the U.S. and look at the paint job of the one I was getting, and just to make sure it was a decent, because the robot mode for me is what it would probably be displayed in. And I kind of, but it's like with what you'd have to pay for these things plus shipping and everything, I don't see it.
That robot mode needs some paint.
I wonder if these will
nice, but
I wonder if these will show up at Universal Studios.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will for $25 a piece.
Yeah,
I think it might be more than that, as I recall, but I'm not 100% certain. It might be as much as 30. One thing that is worth mentioning about this, though, is that it's a little bit easier to tell in these larger pictures that this is a reuse of the Cyber Battalion Starscream mold with a new head.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has some other remolded parts, too, doesn't it?
It's possible. I don't remember Cyber Battalion Starscream clearly enough to say that for certain. But
I don't remember his wings folding up like that.
I think it has a decent amount of remolding, but it definitely is that base mold.
Yeah.
Like it definitely is Starscream, but it might be more of a remold than a lot of people thought. Same thing with Prowl is Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Just but, very different.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If those things are running, let's say you can get them for $25 from, say, your favorite online retailer, or $30 plus shipping, or if they're Universal, you could probably find a Generations Jetfire for probably not much more than that. And it's a lot better toy.
Except the chrome.
It's also caked in chrome, though.
Yeah.
Which will flake off.
No. I mean, no, not the, not. Oh, well yeah, you mean like the missile. Oh, yeah, I just meant the base figure itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whose weapons are caked in chrome that flakes off easily.
Yeah, just get the Takara one. You can pick that up for about $10 now.
Really?
I don't know if it's that cheap, but it is really nice. That's the route I went originally.
Everything's cheap on Taobao. That's cheating.
Okay. Masterpiece Megatron MP36 in hand images of the new figure updated with more images. I think this looks really, really good.
I agree.
We also get some pictures of a lot of his accessories, and there you go, Eric. There's a picture of the lightsaber that don't exist in this universe.
No. That's a energy lance. You can't call it a lightsaber because who will so get you.
Actually, the pink blade, as the resident Gundam guy, the pink blade officially designates it as a beam saber.
Beam sword. Yeah.
Okay, everyone knows about the positives about this figure so far. I'll mention a couple negatives just to keep it balanced.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little bit of an ugly back.
Yeah.
And he's very panely in gun mode, and
around the shoulders, he's very panely around the shoulders as well.
Yes.
I'm not denying any of these things, but I still like it.
I don't think he's a very, very good Megatron. And of course I'm getting him, but I don't think he's like the definitive, like, this is the best engineering ever. It's actually probably a little overcomplicated from what I saw.
Well, Diecast, you've handled most all the Megatrons that have come through lately. I haven't, so, I wound up getting a Polygon and that was it. But, you've handled Mitron and you handled Despotron. For the money, just me personally looking at it, comparing dollars to dollars for a good looking Megatron for the shelf, wouldn't Despotron maybe be the better way to go just for a great visual representation if you didn't need, you know, all that G1 stuff that he comes with? Or would you still say get the Masterpiece for the extra money?
I would say get the Masterpiece to put it with. If you're putting it next to MP10 in robot mode, get the Masterpiece. Despotron is definitely a lot cleaner in gun mode. So there's that. And I like the bulk of Despotron. He looks physically strong, where this Megatron is a slender, almost cartoon accurate Megatron.
Well, that's what the Masterpiece line's going for these days, so.
Oh yeah, and I'm not faulting it for that. I'm just mentioning.
Yeah.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, it is not cheap. Luckily, I've already paid in full and don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
And there's always the question of will it get through customs, which is...
Well, yeah, there is that. Please package it in robot mode.
Yes.
If this got through customs, which is that upscale Warbitron gun, Megatron gun, which has no orange cap, has nothing.
That just means they didn't check your shipment.
Yeah.
That may be. But yeah, he comes packaged in robot mode, which we saw from the videos.
Good. Yeah. So a lot of the standard accessories we accept from Megatron are here. Key to Vector Sigma, energy maze from More Than Meets the Eye, the helmet, mind control helmet from A Prime Problem. Am I missing anything?
I was sort of looking at the pictures.
Well, the beam saber and gun, which I believe it was Chris I heard referred to as the Prime Killer Starter Kit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
He put that on the video. That is great.
Now,
the other thing that I thought was neat was like the accessories, like the scope and the extra piece that comes off the back of the gun look like they're die-cast, so they're going to be pretty sturdy.
Oh, well, they must not be good toys then.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be bad
they're good.
Toy.
It's going to be crap, yeah.
Brian, don't buy this official toy. It's got die-cast in it.
I do like they went the extra mile where, I mean, he has a swappable faceplate, but underneath... The face, they went the extra mile and did the molding. They made it match the X-ray scan from Transformers the movie.
That's
really cool.
That'll be kind of cool. I'm sure we'll see a lot of people on Flickr and other websites being recreating that image, because with all the Masterpiece Galvatrons we've got now from the third parties, I'm sure there'll be a lot of work being done with that, which I'll be interested to see how that turns out.
I mean, honestly, I'm probably going to keep my Megatron in that, like, beat-up mode with, you know, where he looks all like he just got out of the fight with Optimus Prime, because that's something that no other Megatron has, so
yeah.
I really like that feature.
Because you have enough Megatrons to spare, though.
Yeah, he does make a very thick-looking gun mode, though, that's... Not the best one-to-one scale, but I'm willing to forgive that. You know, I'm not going to keep him in gun mode anyway, so. Further thoughts? Or shall we move on?
Looks good. I might get him at some point. It's just, you'll have to wait and see. But the next thing we got to talk about is kind of interesting, to finally see some actual color pictures of this guy.
Ah, Titan Class Trypticon, and how he'll hold your money for you.
What little money
will be left after you buy him? Yeah.
Yeah, especially since I think this is the dinosaur. Is this dinosaur?
Yeah, this is dinosaur. And I keep wanting to say dinosaur whenever I try to do that, which is not the right dinosaur for this toy. But
I would buy some Masterpiece dinosaur, so.
I would buy anything dinosaur. But for someone who is not a big Trypticon fan, it's, you know, even the U.S. version's not a must get for me right now.
Oh, Don, you're wrong.
But I'm saying seeing this picture, even though I know there's some slight color differences, I can really appreciate now versus some other pictures I've seen of just how detailed his whole surface is at. And what's really cool is, and Rob, you can understand this. You know how sometimes it's like with SIC. everything is so hyper detailed, you kind of lose the character because of the detailing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much of a good thing. But I think in this case here, he looks like a real city. You've got windows and panels and doors and sculpted hinges and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, this is a character that he didn't need to be like Inferno. That was smooth and sleek. He needs to look like a walking, living city.
I agree completely.
And seeing the sculpting on this figure to make him look like a city that's come to life is just so very impressive to me.
And you're saying all these good things, and yet you're still saying, I don't know if I'm going to get it.
This looks like a definite step up over Metroplex and Fortress Maximus.
Trust me, Diecast, as someone who owns all of one masterpiece, that being the original U.S. release of MP1, it is entirely possible to admire a figure and say this isn't for me or too rich for my blood. Believe me.
Well, it's not that. It's for me, Fortress Maximus left such a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a disappointment to me. He just was not a sturdy figure. Just, I don't know what I wanted, but what I got wasn't it.
The sturdiness of the figure never bothered me. It's the fact that he was just basically Metroplex again, and that's not what the original Fortress Maximus toy was. They were very, very different designs.
Right.
And yeah. I always liked Fortress Maximus better. So.
Yeah. But, you know, seeing this, I'll admit I am more tempted now after seeing these pictures of wanting. You know, the color doesn't make a difference to me, whether it's Dinosaur or whether it's Trypticon. But there's almost not much difference.
And I'm like, we keep seeing more stuff that interests me in this, too. Like, we've seen now that, you know, his claw hands can hold things. We've seen that his claws will move up to his mouth so he can actually feed himself his Titan Masters. So, I mean, it's little things like that keep me interested in this. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I'm a lot. I'll be honest. If Fans Toys Omega Supreme wasn't coming out, this would probably be a lot higher on my list. Well, not the U.S. version, not the Takara version.
Yeah, I still maintain that I don't think there is a big enough difference between the U.S. and Japan versions for most people to really need to even think about.
Especially with no electronics in this figure, I feel no need to go outside of Hasbro. I will be perfectly happy with the Hasbro.
Because even with the best yen exchange rate you can think of for this guy, drop shipping on top of everything else.
Yeah.
The only noticeable difference between the two is the price.
And the little purple painted part inside the mouth.
Yeah, I know that there's little differences, but like the only major difference is the price you're paying.
Yeah. I'm still, if we do get an SDCC version of this, I'm kind of interested to see how it's going to diverge from the retail releases both in the U.S. and Japan. I'm curious to see what they could do with that.
It'll have purple chrome. It'll have purple chrome hands, and full tilt will be purple chrome.
And probably what it'll do is it'll come with two Constructicons from like where they're building them in Five Faces of Darkness. So that way you can have two Constructicons just randomly put in the box. And we're building it.
Oddly colored. Too. Oddly colored Constructicons.
Yeah.
One yellow, one orange.
Yeah, my guess as to what might set the exclusive version apart is we might get a recolor of Legends Tailgate as Wipeout, the comics character who was attached to Trypticon, but that's the best thing I can come up with.
Do we know that we're getting an exclusive version of it?
No.
Not for certain. I just
know with the Cybertron set that there was some confusion over what might be the SDCC exclusive.
Yeah, well, we're going off of history here and assuming we're going to get one.
Yeah, but I've been having this argument with XV for a while because he thinks it's probably going to be an SDCC exclusive because I thought maybe not because it was scheduled for the fall, but a lot of the other ones that we have gotten as SDCC were also scheduled for the fall. So I'm probably off base on that.
What, Metroplex was a fall release. Fortress Maximus came out a little earlier, but
yeah, it came out in July. Well, actually, late. Same thing with Devastator. Devastator came out in like June.
Yeah,
I think July.
I think they may have been officially listed as fall releases, though.
They are, and they've always come out early. So I'm hoping that's what happens again.
But the SDCC sets still always managed to beat them to market. So
Now I'm gonna say one thing: if you don't really want to spend all that money for Trypticon, the next thing we got coming up, you may just want to put your money towards that because you're going to need it.
All right, let's move on to that then.
Yeah, because
the Unicron lamp from Soldier Story in hand photos.
God, I want this.
This is $800.
It is beautiful.
God, I want
beautiful,
this.
But it is $800.
Yeah.
I want this so
it's
bad.
It's not even It's not even much of a lamp. It's a light up figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous.
All it is perfect.
I'm going to say it's too detailed.
Diecast, just no.
At least it doesn't have diecast in it.
That means it's a good toy.
I mean, look at Rodimus. He has the right amount of detail, and Unicron is just over detailed.
Bear in mind what Don was saying about Trypticon, though, diecast, where they're doing the added level of detail to give him a little bit more of a feeling of size. It can look over detailed, and I think it's totally up to personal taste whether this does or not. But if you imagine him as being the size of the planet and all those various panel lines being several miles apart, it comes off a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can see where diecast is coming from, especially in the legs, the lower legs.
Yeah, he is hyper detailed
from the knees down. The midsection doesn't bother me so much. His wings were always hyper detailed, so that doesn't bother me at all. But the legs are a little off to me.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to sort of blend it into the Cybertron cityscape, and maybe they should have backed off a little bit. But anyway, this is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah, I will not begrudge anyone for wanting to add this to their collection.
Because if you sacrifice,
but anybody who has $800. More power to you.
Seriously.
I think the one safe thing to say is there's going to be a lot of people, myself included, that's going to be keeping an eye on clearance sales 6 months after this thing is released.
I'm hoping it produced really low numbers, though.
I know. I'm hoping it does.
Even at clearance prices, Don, it's going to be ridiculously expensive.
I know.
But yeah, it'll only be half a grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was guessing 600.
I wouldn't go below 650, but yeah.
But if anyone out there does get this and post a really good photo gallery, be sure to let us know so we can live vicariously through you.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Radio.com/that lamp for Don.
we'll add that to the Massey attack list.
With my luck, I'd get it, and that'd be the first thing he knocks over. It just shatters. What's that scream?
All right, and for the movie block, I'm going to hand it over to Diecast. Take it away, sir.
Okay, for the movie block, the first thing we have up is the Last Night Decepticon Nitro product line art leak.
Yeah.
Hints at alt mode.
Yeah, you can see some wings and tail fins and things on his back there.
And it confirms it's a Voyager. We speculated that before, but it wasn't actually confirmed.
Yeah.
And now I kind of see how it looks like Shockwave now. I know that Rob and I, we discussed that before, that it didn't look like Shockwave does. I can kind of see that looking at the trailer now. I see the bot people are talking about.
Yeah. I see a little bit more of it myself. It's not a one-to-one match, but
no.
You can see where they're at least reusing existing elements to probably, let some poor guy at ILM have his weekends back.
Yeah, since the Viacons are made from the dead Decepticons anyways.
Yeah, it looks like a movie figure.
Yep.
I wonder what wave it'll be.
I'm thinking
three.
Yeah, I'm thinking at least three.
And then next up we have Transformers The Last Night is the one-step turbo changer Cogman.
Yeah, that's what this seems to be. That's the way it was listed on Autobase Aichi, which is where I found this. But it seems like this maybe Cogman's alternate mode.
That doesn't look anything like what I thought it would look like from seeing him in his robot mode.
Yeah, same here.
Didn't they confirm Cogman's alt mode like a long time ago? Or didn't we see pictures of it? Or was that just rumors I saw? I swear that it was one of the first vehicle modes we saw for the movie. I could be wrong.
You may...
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Diecast, go ahead.
No, go. You go.
Oh, I was just going to say, you may be right. The movie stuff is kind of my Achilles heel. I don't keep as good a track of it as I could, so I didn't even know Cogman existed until that motion poster that came out last week. So I can't say for sure if we knew that vehicle existed. I don't know that we knew it was him.
And I think we know he's the headmaster too, right?
I thought that was mentioned.
Now here's what I'm wondering: if he's an actual headmaster, is he like a G1 headmaster? Is he like a Titan headmaster? Is he like animated headmaster where you've got some guy running around in a suit
some form of animated transector. Headmaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some kind of transector.
Because it does say that Cogman is the servant of Sir Anthony Hopkins' character, so I'm assuming a human playing the role.
Yeah, so I'm guessing more like Big Guy and Rusty versus, you know, Rebirth headmaster.
Yeah.
You know where we might or might not find out?
Mm-hmm.
The Transformers The Last Night IMAX fan event passes now available if you're lucky enough to have a movie theater near you showing it.
Are you lucky enough, Diecast?
I am lucky enough. I am going to get to go. It's next Tuesday, so I'll be able to talk about it on the next Radio Free Cybertron, but it's only a half an hour event, so I don't know if we're going to see anything new or if this is just going to be a bunch of trailers.
Well, I have to say though, just as a warning, your definition of lucky and mine are slightly different in this case. Because buying a pass for an early preview that's only 30 minutes.
I did not buy.
Oh,
they were free.
Oh, they're free. I thought they were selling passes for like it's like that's just. Okay, I didn't realize it was a free.
How do you know if there's one near you?
You can go on the website, and it'll tell you if there's anyone close to you that has it. Which is, by now, they may be all sold out, but maybe if you're in an area that has a lot, then you might get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey guys, we just got a tweet from Chris XV. Apparently, the Toys R Us where he saw that one Velocitron sticker, the sticker is for the shelf label has apparently been removed. So, we don't know what this means. Maybe they thought
it up. If you find it, don't throw it off.
Yeah,
maybe
don't.
Diecast was right about the whole helmet, like that being a mistake, and now they're starting to try to keep him back. I don't know. It seems to make sense.
I just Wasn't trying to disappoint anybody. It's just I did want to bring that up.
Thanks.
Yes.
I mean, I was one of the lucky people to get the RC with closed hand.
Yes.
Because there was only a couple of those before they actually switched it over to the open hand version.
I don't think they recalled any of the figures to fix it, though.
No. Well, do we know if they're recalling these box sets? We just know that they aren't.
No, I don't. Well, I don't think they're recalling. I think it's just that. In most cases, any place that is going to get them right now has gotten them, and that's why the stickers are being pulled.
Because there's no more to stock.
A very limited amount went out.
Now,
and that could be because they realized they were using the wrong head, and they're like, oh, stop, we have to get the correct head, and they're going to produce more, and then Toys R Us in a month or two is going to get some more.
I wonder if they were producing those at the same time the Chrome Dome with the wrong head went out.
That's an interesting question.
These Headmasters are causing a lot of these Titan Masters are causing a lot of head.
What is the matter with the Headmasters?
They can't fight without Chrome Dome.
Yeah. Now, I do have one more theory about this that I just want to pass along. I have no evidence to this. This is just my guess. You know, the rumor going around is that they're going to have try and hit with a bunch of stuff, not just movie stuff, when the Last Night Toys Street
April 26th.
Yeah, so my hope is that maybe this is an early batch that just got sent out too soon and got you know, put out.
That is
because
that's
they were not specifically embargoed or anything, and if we're lucky, maybe there will be another shipment coming for the big street date at the end of April. Fingers crossed, because I'd like to actually get one of this.
They said they were restocking all three Transformers lines on that day. Like, they were launching the new movie line, but also putting out the newest waves of Robots in Disguise and Titans Return on that day. They specifically mentioned that at Toy Fair in the interview, that it's an event for the movies, but the other lines are going to benefit from it, too. And so that could help back you up on that.
Well, here's hoping.
And then the final thing we have on the movie block is CinemaCon. Michael Bay blows up significant location for The Last Night.
Oh, what's he blown up now?
Anthony Hopkins sounded grumpy in the quote. He didn't sound like he liked Michael Bay. He called him a dumb American. Ooh. Yeah.
Only an American.
Yeah.
What has he blown up now? I haven't read this.
What was it that they made another set of so they could blow it up?
Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Oh.
They made their own Stonehenge. He said it looks better than the original, and that made Sir Anthony Hopkins not happy.
I can see that, because that's a very important historic landmark.
He said only an American would have the
gumption to say such a thing about it. Ugh.
Say such a thing and about a beloved wonder of the world. And I guess blow it up, too.
Yeah.
You can't blow up a...
Oh, there's another bit of movie news for today, too. The official site for the movie is up.
Yes, thank you. I did not get a chance to add that to the show notes.
I accidentally clicked on it earlier, and when it opens, it shows Optimus's eyes flashing red, then turning purple, and it follows your mouse, his eyes, and it's really creepy.
Yeah, that would be.
That was my experience with the site. I opened it up and he just kept staring. It's on T-Formers, right? I can't remember what it specifically is. Something like The Last Night or I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, let me add that to the show notes now so people who check them after the show will be able to see what we're talking about. And you can get those at tfradio.net/512.
Mm-hmm. And it has a couple tabs. I didn't click on all of them, but the character motion posters that we saw like a week or two ago, it was like our first look at Cogman and Hot Rod. You know what I'm talking about? They're like five seconds. Those are all up there, too, for characters. You can scroll through those and look at them. There's like a summary plot of the movie, basically the whole Rethink Your Heroes thing. And there were some other things. I didn't look at it too long. I just clicked on it by accident really quick. So.
Well, you know more than we do, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Good thing we invited you along tonight.
Also, thanks to Amazon, www.tfradio.net/MassyAttack. You can get some items for Don when Massey attacks.
And when you use our Amazon links, you're helping to support the show. It doesn't cost you any more. You still pay exactly the same amount you would for your items before, but Amazon will kick a few cents back per purchase to us to help support the broadcast. So please add us to your favorites list. You know, bookmark that link. We totally appreciate it.
Yeah. Since it's almost Easter, you can get Cadbury eggs too.
/Amazon.
Yes. TFradio.net/Cadbury.
Yeah, and it's like a 40-pack. I want that. No, I don't want Miracle Whip. I want something good to put in my mouth.
And remember, we can't see who orders what, but if you order something particularly entertaining, it may get mentioned on the show.
If it's appropriate.
Yes, if it's appropriate, that is kind of it.
Family friendly. Yeah.
Yes, family friendly, but weird, and your order may get mentioned on the show.
Yes.
And then also while you're trying to help people out, the Chosen Prime is trying to win a FedEx Small Business Grant, and you can help out the Chosen Prime by going to smallbusinessgrant.fedex.com, and you can vote for them every 24 hours, and I think it's up till the end of April. But definitely try and help them out, because
And I think all of us have used Chosen Prime here at one point or another, or at least, you know, seen their displays at some of the shows. And they put on a magnificent display when they're at BotCon or any of the other shows they go to. Great. They put a lot of work in their displays. I've very friendly staff. I ordered some stuff. Not long. I ordered the Rioter Megatron, the Matching Optimus, and Downbeat. And wound up ordering them Monday and got them Thursday. So, I mean, that was just top-notch service all the way around. So, check them out and check them out if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, they do from time to time send me figures to review. So, maybe if they win the grand, I'll have more figures to review, which would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Yeah, help out Diecast. Okay. Moving on to third-party news. Iron Factory, Lord Scorpion, Dark Matter version, Black Zarek, unofficial legend scale figure. Dawn, Black Zarek.
Yeah, I know, because I was thinking about this, because I was going to get the Black Zarek version of Pandanus, because, you know, a G1
this
Black
Zarek. This looks to be much more affordable.
Yeah, yes, that's... Well, like I said, I was thinking about getting the recolor of Pandanus, but then that Fans Toys Omega got shown, which is like, ooh, that's pricey, that's pricey. But now this is a teeny tiny little pocket sized Black Zarek that you can put on yourself to terrorize your figures when you're not around.
That looks like Black Zarek.
He does. He looks. I have to say, I don't mind the Devil Stinger. The Pandanus recolor. I didn't mind the way that looked because it's such a unique take on, mm-hmm. you know, a demon transformer. I didn't mind that, but I have to say this is better.
This is more what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's not quite. It's more Black Zarek than it is Devil Z for those people that have watched mm-hmm. Master Force. So yeah, this is pretty tempting.
It's also affordable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always a good quality in your toys.
Yeah, and you know, I can, and I've still got a lot of cassette tapes I can put under this guy to make him stand up.
I love you, Don.
Well, hey, when you're my age, you found a good sale on cassette bricks, you stocked up, and I just happened to have some left.
Okay, Fans Hobby Gunfighter 2 unofficial MP scale G2 laser prime design changes revealed. So this is the laser prime version of
Arch Enemy.
Their Black Scourge. Yeah.
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 So
does anyone know why they like made this stuff?
I'm not sure. Everything I heard from Arch Enemy was generally positive.
Yeah, that's why I'm not sure. Not that I'm complaining, because remolding is always welcome and it doesn't look bad, but I just don't understand why.
Was Arch Enemy capable of holding a Matrix?
No.
No, I don't think so.
It
appears that Gunslinger is.
Yeah.
He has an opening chest cavity. They made some changes to his shoulders.
I thought Arch Enemy could open.
Opening chest cavity. I'm not certain. That's why I'm asking.
I don't have it either, so but I can't say
rate,
that. But.
At any rate, they've changed the chest plates.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The one or two reviews I've watched for Arch Enemy did not mention the opening chest plate, and also the fact
it didn't open. I had it. I did a review on.
Okay.
I could be imagining that.
Yeah, and also then if they want to get a third use out of this base mold, they could do as a laser Magnus, because that was a version that wasn't as easy to get. So they could do a laser Magnus version of this, and it would probably have a Matrix 2.
Also, it looks like they've done some remolding to the legs to help close up some holes in vehicle mode.
Mm-hmm.
But now, just on the chest plate, I just did a quick look at the original Laser Optimus Prime, and it looks like, for one thing, the remold is for the purpose of putting the three stripes closer to where they actually were on the original toy, because they were lower on the... chest windshields than they are on that first piece.
Oh, and I like this. Apparently, there's some part of the truck mode changes. There's some slide covers that cover the hips in vehicle mode. So instead of just having the ratcheted hips show up out of the back, you can actually pull the slide covers up and cover the back of that part of the truck, which is
really nice. That is nice.
Thanks. It's good. That's what I was trying to point out, Don. Thank you. You did it more eloquently than I did.
Yeah. You know. Plus, with Arch Enemy being their first toy, and I believe also Megatooth from the same company, and that both those toys I have seen have gotten really good reviews across the board from most places. Like our friend Bobby Skullface, I think has covered both of them too, and he seemed to be pretty impressed with the Megatooth. So them doing these slight changes will give some variety to the line without it being, you know, a budget killer.
And it looks like some of these are just merely small aesthetic changes too, like the chest plates. And it looks like in truck mode, they've added some rear view mirrors to the front fenders.
Yeah. It looks like they also added windshield wipers.
Yeah. I mean, this is just an example of somebody going above and beyond and, you know, doing stuff that they don't even have to just to, you know, make it's a more satisfying product.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can respect that.
Yeah, it'd be sort of interesting, sort of like what Mastermind did early on. Once they did when they did all those changes to the first Hearts of Steel to get the second version of that mold out, with all the quality, the QC upgrades they did. So it'd be interesting to see 6 months to a year where these folks are at with their offerings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, third party products on display: DX9, Toy World, Make Toys, Iron Factory, and more on display. Where, I wonder? That's not in the article.
Well, it's just a toy show.
Oh, this weekend in China.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see a Springer.
Yeah, you know, Paladin raised a good point. Is anyone really asking for a new Starscream? It looks good, but who's asking for
a Masterpiece War Within Starscream?
Yeah, who wanted that?
Yeah, I just don't see the. I mean, War Within's getting some love, but
I've seen a couple of people on Twitter speak very highly of this, and of course, the thing to remember is it's not just War Within Starscream; it is also Cybertron Starscream, which it's got to be a selling point for some people that it can be either.
Did we just get a platinum edition of that of the original figure of that like a couple of years ago?
I think we may have somewhat recently.
I think we did. It might have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was a Toys R Us Year of the Horse version when that god awful gold tinted Optimus Prime came out too.
I own that. I like it. It's not awful.
No. I said god awful. There's a difference.
No, it's not like Miracle Whip, Don.
And it's
it's gaudy and awful. Yes.
More importantly, it is not Linkin Park Soundwave.
That's true.
Earwax Soundwave, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, lots of good stuff on display. I have Jazz, I have Downbeat, so I am... My Masterpiece Jazz slot has been filled beautifully with the Downbeat. Who actually, I have him in animation mode, which is sort of surprises me, because usually I do my... All about cars and car and toy mode, but it's like I think I really like Jazz with the doors tucked in.
Which six shot was on display there? Was that because there's more than one Masterpiece scale six shot coming out?
Is that
right?
Hanzo?
I think that's Hanzo. I think.
So is that the one DX9, that came out?
I think.
Is that the one that came out or didn't come out yet? Because one of them came out already, right?
Hanzo came out, which is the DX9 one. Yeah. I thought that was the Fans Toys one, but I don't have any of those because I was waiting for the Fans Toys.
This looks... The one on display looks different than the one that's out, because the one that's out looked...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because the one that's out is more blue. This one looked more green to me, or I could be wrong.
Yeah, so I think that's the Fans Toys one. There's also a Megatron that I've never seen before. What is that thing?
I didn't see it.
It's near the end of the gallery. I was just looking at that, and the back is a little bit more elegant than the Masterpiece, and it doesn't look, in terms of body shape, it doesn't look too bad, but that face.
Oh, that's the one that turns into the tank, too, maybe.
Oh, it turns into a gun and a tank?
We heard about this a while ago then, didn't
we? Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So did I.
Yeah.
And that's been a long time ago. That's like 2 years ago we heard about that.
Yeah, it still doesn't look finished because that face, like you said, is not good, Rob. And then also, it's got a really ugly gap in between his upper body.
Yeah.
And, of course, adding to the pile of Springers, we have more Springer.
Is this one that we've seen before?
I can't keep track.
Toys also.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have one for each day of the week yet. We're only on six.
This is Springer number four, then, I guess.
We have six Springers, don't we? Yeah, okay.
I think this one specifically is number four.
Yeah, you know what? Don't quote me on the Fans Toys thing, because it could be any of those companies, because it only says DX9, Toy World, Make Toys, Iron Factory, and more, so it could be the Toy World one. Who knows?
We have no idea. Have we seen that Power Master Optimus Prime before?
Yeah, I think I remember seeing it. Because people were talking about how it's sort of like their own take.
Yeah, there was a Toy World one. I know this. I don't think this is the same one, because it doesn't have that big box of feet behind his head. So either it's different or they've made some design changes. I'm not sure which.
I thought this was the one that we saw revealed with another Overlord at the same time.
I thought that was the box of feet one, so...
I don't know. I can't remember it that well.
It's hard to track. It really is. But this does... If that is that same one, they have definitely improved it, because that having that backpack lower just helps so much.
That'd be a welcome change, yeah.
Yeah. That Megatron face needs to be changed. That needs to be changed.
So much.
Or just don't need more Megatrons.
Also a possibility.
Just saying, I think there's enough options.
Yeah, better get to work on more Springers.
Yeah, we don't have seven yet, so we're obviously slacking.
We're still in the single digits, you know. Okay.
Would a Wheel and Pocket Springer help?
You know, that would probably be awesome.
It actually would be.
I don't hold it against, you know, companies who do things in different scales. It's when you get, you know, eight different companies making things all in the same scale. That I think there's an overload of option, you know, where's the limit? At that point, how do you decide which one to get?
Have we gotten legend scale triple changers?
Did an Overlord, actually.
And they
Springer, Sandstorm, Blitzwing.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
Not a triple changer, but we did get their version of six shot.
Yeah.
That's what I wondered. A Blitzwing, but my memory is terrible for this, so I don't...
Oh, yeah, yes, you're right. No, Rob, you are right. There is a Blitzwing out. It's the one that has the feet in the front of the tank mode, which kind of really messes up the profile.
Iron Factory
that's
DX9?
I think it's Iron Factory.
Warren and Pocket.
I think it's Iron Factory.
Okay.
I think. Lots of third-party stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so also on T-Formers, Rob, you want to handle that?
You bet. We've got a couple more reports from Jack's visit for the press event for Transformers The Last Night. Photos of the various cars and a write-up of his experience with the Transformers ride, which, of course, I went to about 4 years ago. And, yeah, that is – I bet that was a lot more fun when if he got his flight earlier and did not have the jet lag issue I kind of did. Because – Let me tell you, that was the first time I had flown, and getting in that thing where they, you know, toss you around, there are loud noises, and they spray water at you, and there's one spot where it's like you're falling, and it's like, this is exactly everything I was afraid was going to happen to this day. Luckily, I got to do it again the next day, which was a more pleasant experience. But let me tell you, after a long day of air travel, that was not quite what I was hoping.
You don't want to feel like you're falling.
Exactly. But yeah, so you can see Jack's write-up of that on T-Formers. My review of Voyager Megatron is up. It has a few issues, but I really actually like that. I've been wanting a Voyager Megatron in this basic style for a long time, and this has, you know, some, like I said, some personality. The shoulder joints take a little bit of getting used to because they're set very high for the transformation, but that works really well for posing with the fusion cannon, so I think it's to the good in the end. But it's a decent little toy, and I'm happy to have it. I I think it may show up as in G2 colors in one of the two as yet unannounced box sets, but that's just a total stab in the dark.
I'd say it's a safe bet for a firepower set.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. I would be happy to have this again in either of the G2 color schemes, though I kind of lean towards the purple one. We've got our XV's review of Till All Are One number 8, which came out today, and Lost Light number 4. Till All Are One is really good, and if you've been enjoying Lost Light and the way it's been going, you will probably enjoy this, but I'm just really wanting things to pick up on the Necro World side of the story sometime soon. And lastly, I am doing a feature this week called Articulation Breakdown Week, where I'm just basically talking about the use and care and feeding of the various kinds of joints that go into action figures and Transformers in particular. Right now, the parts that are up are the introduction, a description of hinges, and one of swivels. Tomorrow is ball joints. And then on Friday, we will wrap up with how ratcheting joints work.
Okay, Don, you want to handle what on the network this week?
Yeah, I'll do that. On the network this week, our friends over at That One Episode of Star Trek tackle one of the best Q episodes, Deja Q, which is one of the best hooks for the opening stinger with everyone's favorite Q, John Delancey. And being
my
awesome,
favorite Q is Alpha Q.
Alpha Q. That's very nice. You watch more Star Trek. And then also, Being Awesome, episode number 96 episodes of Being Awesome.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, we all know how just energetically full of life Rob is in a regular episode. 100 people are going to have to sit about 20 feet back from their computers to listen to the 100 episode, I got a feeling. But Being Awesome number 96, the last night before the next night, oh, wait, it's Morphin time. And this is from Zordon. So be sure to check that out with our friend Rob Springer. Also, don't forget to check out his web base and also Toylanta. The Toylanta dates have been announced for next year as well. So be sure to check that out.
Oh, yeah. Zonebase.org is Rob's blog.
It's a neat site.
It is. Yeah, it's very Rob. It's very Rob.
You have been warned.
I guess don't forget, you can find it, as Rob said earlier, you can find this episode at tfradio.com/512. You can also leave us a voicemail. You can use it to send text, 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and also, if you have a Roku, we are now on Roku. So be sure to add us to your channel list and check us out.
I believe we are under special interests from what Brian was telling me.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, I want to give a special thank you to Eric Crownover, a.k.a. Aramis Prime, for joining us this week, helping us out when we were shorthanded. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Yeah, you did really, really well. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. So you can follow me on Twitter at Melvar. That's with 3 L's and 2 R's. Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. And of course, you can see all of my and XV's reviews for T-Formers on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Diecast.
You can see all my reviews, including my preview for the Chaos on Velocitron, on RFC Reviews. I also have the Phoenix review up, which he's awesome. And I do a lot of comparison shots with him just to give us, so hopefully you can all, everyone watching can get a good size.
He's big. He's very big.
He's extremely big.
And you can also follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. And I'm probably on a couple other places, but that's good enough for now.
All right, Dawn.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR. You can also reach me through my other podcast, TFYLP, at TFYLP as well. And that's pretty much it. I'm a very boring person. I don't go a lot of places.
Yeah, well, They can reach you more places than they can reach me, so that says something.
Well, considering Brian,
okay, Eric.
He had to drag
you. Go ahead, Don.
Because Brian had to basically drag you onto Twitter and step on your feet there.
That's true. That's the only reason anyone can get up with me. It's Brian's fault. Eric.
You can follow me on Twitter at Aramis Prime. I am also in the Facebook group Talk Transformers. If you listen to Being Awesome with Rob Springer, I'm in there a lot too. And I also have my own YouTube channel, Nerdy Geek Talk, where we have lots of stuff, but also more Transformers stuff, like TF Primecast, my other podcast. So make sure to check that out.
Okay, that'll be the show for this week. Everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
We'll return to our regular scheduled Radio Free Cybertron next week.
With Brian hosting, so...
thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks for putting up with us tonight.
We're sorry.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.